Oh, all right. Good morning. We are apparently in a hurry to get started this morning. It's good to see all of you this morning.
Walk in the light, the beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
This morning we already talked about having that attitude of optimism about our future, about the things that are going on. And like I said, the book of Psalms is full of as the title on each of these songs in my Bible says, a song of decrees. This morning I want to look at Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I'm sure it's familiar scripture to you. Perhaps it's been quoted many times. Perhaps you even have it embroidered on a plaque or something on your wall. But it's such a powerful passage of scripture. And especially in the times that we're living in, it can be a psalm that we can cling to, that we can hold on to, and have confidence and faith in. Psalm 121 says this, and I know time is quickly running out, but we'll try to get you out on time this morning. Psalm 121, starting in verse 1, says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's go to the Lord one more time. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for what's already been said, what's already been accomplished in this service this morning. I pray that you would have your hand upon the next few minutes, Father, as we open your word briefly and share the message that you would have for us for this time. Pray, Father, that you would help all of us here, including myself, to have open, receptive hearts to whatever you would have for us in this time. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 121, if I were to give this message a title, it would be Hang On, Help is Coming. You know, many times, as I've already said, this particular section in my Bible, in the book of Psalms, it always lists what type of song that it is. And even today, when you open up your hymnal, you can open up to the index, or you can open up to the index by subject. And I kind of like to think that when these psalms were originally written and they were sung and by the people, by God's people, I like to think that they would look at this and say, okay, this is a song of degrees, so this is a song for this time. When you see that title, that superscription, what it means is that it was a psalm that worshipers would sing as they made their way to Jerusalem to participate in the three great annual feasts, of course being Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And with that in mind, it's easy to see that why a lot of people call this psalm the Pilgrim's Psalm, because it tells of the dangers of the journey along the way, and also the help that God provides to those pilgrims that are faithful to his calls. We see in verse 1, it's not necessarily a declaration of hope. Rather, it's a cry of despair. When you look at David's life, we see that he had high points, he had low points, and pretty much everything in between. Many times when you think of David, perhaps the first thing that comes to your mind is his battle with Goliath, the giant. Here's a small teenage boy that's taking on this man that's conquered pretty much the entire army of the nation of Israel because they were so afraid of him, this one man, and yet here's little David coming forward with just a slingshot and some rocks. We think of some of the high points of him coming to be king and anointing his anointing of and his crowning there in the nation of Israel. We also see low points when he was on the run because he was a hunted man. And perhaps it was during one of these times that he wrote these psalms, or this particular psalm, because especially when you read Psalm 120 with that, it says, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord and he heard me." Many times we as Christians are in distress. Just as a boat up on the water, when it runs into trouble, when it runs into a storm, when it runs into whatever it may be facing, it sends out a distress call. We see this in the movies as a little guy in a radio room sending out an SOS, or you know, someone on a radio saying, "Mayday, mayday." Many times we as Christians come under attack. We go through those storms, as that song that we sang this morning, "Till the Storm Passes By." And we can look at that hope, but until that storm passes by, we're still right in the middle of it. Hang on, because help is coming. As I said, this is a psalm of pilgrims, or a song that could be sang during a pilgrimage. If you could remember this morning that all of us who are Christians are pilgrims. We're on a journey because this world, although it has its good points and its bad, this world, as the song says, is not my home. I'm just passing through. We are pilgrims on our way to our eternal home in heaven that Christ has gone to prepare for us. So let's join David, the psalmist, for a few minutes this morning and tell about the source of our help, because as I've said, help is on the way. Help is coming. First of all, let's in verses 2 through 4, it says we can find the source of our help. Very first phrase in verse 2 says, "My help cometh from the Lord." I could close the Bible right now and close this service with just that phrase, "My help cometh from the Lord." I've already mentioned this morning, you know, so many people, Christians alike and non-Christians, are battling so many things. I myself, to confess to you, at a time, battled depression. Through the later years of high school and early years of college, there was just, as my mom and my dad used to say, it was just like Satan was trying to steal my joy. And I was just letting so many things that were going on in my life, so many trials that were coming about, just letting them get me down. And even today, you know, it's easy to just look upon the bad things and not even and think about all the good things that God has done for us. But first of all, the source of our help. Verse 2 says he is our creator. The psalmist knew that this help would not come from the hills. Even though in verse 1 it says, look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. He wasn't looking for the hills to help him. He was looking for the creator of the hills. Because when you're standing in a valley and you have mountains and hills all around you, it's easy to see the power of the one who's helping you, that creator. Because it was that creator's hand that pulled those mountains right up from the earth. So he could see the source and the strength of his creator, of his help. No help could, as we've seen in many times throughout the Old Testament, a lot of folks were looking for help in many different places. We see when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and Moses had gone up on the mountain to meet with the Lord to get what we now call the Ten Commandments, children of Israel thought that he was gone, thought he was dead. So they gathered together all their gold items and they melted them down and made an idol right there in the middle of their camp. You know, if I had been God, I probably would have just struck him down right then. It's a good thing that I'm not in that position, because there are many times, and there probably would be no one left in this world, because so many times even God's people mock his name. They put so many things ahead of God. Yeah, they have that spot on their shelf for God, for the whatever it may be, the Sunday morning, the Wednesday night, the occasional service in between, but they have so many other things ahead of it, whatever that may be. We need to look at the source of our help. He's our creator. Verse 3 says he's our confirmer. It says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. This verse tells us that the Lord will not allow our foot to slip. That's what that phrase means. He will not suffer thy foot to stumble. He will not allow our foot to slip. God knows how easy it is for us to slip into sin. And as I've already said this morning, discouragement. Yet we must remember that he is ever with us and has promised to sustain us with his presence and his power. We've already talked about his power this morning. This verse tells us that he's going to be with us all times. He never sleeps. He's on watch. He's on guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, holidays, whatever it may be. He's there for us. He confirms us. You know, when we see this verse that says he will not allow our foot to slip, I like to think of David, who grew up as a little shepherd boy. And the picture of the shepherd and the sheep is one that's so beautiful. And yet, it kind of makes you stop and laugh, because Christ compares us, his people, to sheep. And when you look at sheep, in all essence of the word, they're dumb animals. They're stupid. You know, you can show a sheep which way to go, and he'll, 9 times out of 10, go the opposite way. You can show him where the food is, and if you don't take him to the food, he'll sit there and starve. And so many times, we as Christians, we know exactly where to go. We know exactly what we need to do, and yet we don't do it. So when you look at that, the picture of the sheep is so perfect. But we see the shepherd, and there's an old song that my grandmother used to sing that's titled The 90 and 9. I don't know how old the song is. It's I'm sure, much older than most of us in here. But it says, and it takes up on that parable of the shepherd with the 100 sheep, but one of them has gone astray, but yet he leaves the 99 in the fold just to go and find that one lost sheep. And the song talks about going up on the rocks and up on the hills and the mountains. And that's a picture that we have of Christ. So we see that even though we may be walking this winding mountain road, this winding path that's rocky, that's slick, that any minute we could slip and fall, this verse tells us that he's not going to allow our foot to fall. There's storms in our life. There's things that are coming upon us, just battering us right and left. And yet he's not going to allow us to fall. The Bible never said that once you accept Christ, your life will be easy. That's a common misconception. There's a song that says, Lord, when I first met you, I thought my troubles were over. But I soon found that heartaches, trouble, and sorrow still lingered, even though I was trusting in you. Many times we as Christians get this idea in our head that just because we're a Christian, these bad things won't happen to us. I've even had good Christian folk tell me when going through a trial, when going through a sickness, well, you must have done something to upset the Lord because you're going through this problem. That's not what my Bible teaches. In fact, my Bible teaches the complete opposite. When you look at the life of Job, Job was a servant of Christ. He was faithful to God. And some would even say he was one of the most faithful people who has ever existed. And yet, we see that Satan comes along and says, God, if you'll just allow me to tempt him, allow me to do a couple things to him, he will deny your name and turn from you. God said, okay, you can do whatever you want, but just don't take his life. So, you know the story of Job. He lost his possessions. He lost his entire family except for his wife, which probably should have been the one person that he should have lost, because when you read the story, his wife was telling him to curse God and die. What kind of advice is that? A wife, I mean, my goodness. I'm sure she was bitter. She had lost those things too. But yet, yes, that's a different sermon. That's a different day. Next time Charlie's not here. But we have a God who is faithful, because even though those things happened to him, we see in the end Job got back even more than what he had to begin with. So we have a comforter. He's confirmed in our life. Verse 3 and 4, and we'll move along quickly. He's our constant helper. We see in verse 3 and 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. I've already said this morning. He's not going to turn his back on you. It may seem, just as one of my favorite poems speaks about a man having a dream of walking along a beach. And when he looks back, he sees two sets of footprints in the sand, his and the Lord's. And yet when he goes through the rocky times, the hard times, when it was so hard to make it, he only saw one set of footprints. And he comes to the Lord and he says, why did you leave me when I needed you the most? And God says, I didn't leave you. I carried you right through those times. He's right there with us. He's our constant helper. We can see the source of our help. I'll move along quickly. We can see the strength of our help. Verse 5 says, he protects us from our enemies. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. This verse tells us that in ancient times, warriors carried two items into battle. One was the sword, and one was the shield. One was the item to do battle. One was the item to defend oneself from the attacks of the enemy. That shield, that shade on thy right hand is that shield. God is our shield in a time of trouble, in a time of war, because we as Christians, although you may not realize it, are engaged in warfare every single day of our lives. The Apostle Paul says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood or against human beings, but against principalities. And a phrase that scared me to death as a kid, and honestly still scares me to death, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's not just against some nobody. The rulers of the darkness of this world. Sounds pretty powerful to me. But God is our shield against those times. We never know where our attacks will come from. We find ourselves attacked in areas that we're weak. Our enemy knows all about us. When you look at modern warfare, you see that one of the key components of modern warfare is not having the best weapon, although that helps. It's having the best intelligence. Because you can't go into a battle if you don't know what your enemy is doing. If you don't know what your enemy has to come against you. Our enemy, Satan, and the rulers of the darkness of this world have some of the best intelligence agencies around. Better than anything that we could ever have. They know exactly what our weaknesses are, and he will use those weaknesses every time. He protects us from the elements. Verse 6 says, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. When you walk out those doors this morning, you can feel that sun smiting you in the face. You can feel that humidity just draining the energy from you. The Bible says that he will not allow those things to come upon us. The whole idea is while we are subjected to attacks in our lives, we're also subjected to attacks in our bodies and our minds. However, just as God will guard us against the attack of the enemy from the outside, he will guard against the attack on the inside as well. Psalm 91 says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shalt thou trust, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I'm reminded when I read this verse of a story that someone told me about a wildfire that I believe was out in California, since they do get quite a few. And after the fire, the folks were going along, the firefighters, just to poking in mounds of debris to see if there were any sparks left that they could extinguish before another fire could break out. And they poked at this one bundle, and they realized it wasn't just a bunch of sticks and debris. They realized that it was a chicken, a hen. And the hen, of course, was badly burned and was completely almost unrecognizable, except for the feathers that were remaining. And we see that the firefighter kind of kicked it over a little bit, and underneath that hen were the baby chicks, unharmed. Not even a speck of soot on their feathers. We see that that mother hen had covered those baby chicks with her feathers, just as the psalmist has said. I'm often reminded of stories of combat when a brother in arms will, when he sees a grenade or something fly into their foxhole, jumps on that to protect his fellow comrades. One of those was just recognized recently with the Medal of Honor. And yes, he has many scars on his face, but he has his life, which was a miracle in and of itself, because from the story that I read about him, he flatlined or died 3 or 4 times on the way back to the hospital. And yet, when you read his story, something that even the major news networks posted, which I was amazed that they did, he has a wonderful testimony as well, because he talked about the only thing that got him through was his strength and his faith in the Lord. What an amazing story. We've seen the source of our help. We've seen the strength. I'll close with the security of our help. Verse 7 talks about the fact that we are preserved from evil. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. These bodies are much like volcanoes. At any time, the sin that is pent up within us can burst forth. When you see a volcano, oftentimes many months, even years before it erupts, we see steam, we see things coming out of it. We as born-again Christians are nothing more than, as the old song says, a sinner that's saved by grace. We still have that sin nature within us. And as the Apostle Paul says, we have to die daily to that sin nature, because at any moment that sin nature can just burst forth and come up within our lives. But we're preserved from evil if we have the faith in God to claim that. Verse 8 says we're preserved for eternity. It says the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. We as Christians have a hope. We have a hope in the Lord, a hope not only that he will get us through these storms, but more importantly, we have a hope of eternal life, because that is truly the best benefit of all. Folks, this morning we've talked about having help. We've talked about the source of our help, the strength, the security of our help. This morning, if you're here, I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads or close your eyes, because all of us here are adults. And the Bible says that Christ says that if you're ashamed of me before your fellow man, that I will be ashamed of you before God. I don't believe there's anything wrong with invitations like that, but this morning, if you're here and you're going through a trial, you're going through the storm, you're going through the battle, and it seems like no matter what you do, it seems like you can't keep your head above water. You're just treading water, but you're being pulled under. This morning, surrender that to the Lord. Have faith in the promises that he's given us in his word, because not only do we have hope of eternal life, but we have hope in this life on this earth. Not that we won't have trials, but that he'll get us through those trials. So this morning, surrender those to the Lord. The Bible says to cast your care upon him, to roll your burden upon him. That picture is of someone carrying a large burden up on their back, a large sack, and it's so heavy that they can't even lift it off. They just have to roll it on to the Lord. The Lord will pick it up. He'll pick you up and strengthen you. Maybe I've talked this morning and you you've heard what I've said, but it doesn't really make sense because, yeah, you've had problems, you've had trials, you've gone through heartaches and storms in your life, but you don't have that hope because you've never accepted it. Christ died on a cross for you. He shed his blood for you. He gave up all of heaven's wonders, all the treasures of heaven, to come to this earth, to be born in a manger, perhaps one of the most humbling things that he could have done, to come as a baby. He grew up in this life just as you and I do. He went through the same things that we do, went through the same temptations, and yet the Bible says he was without sin. He's the only man who's ever lived that's been without sin. And because he was without sin, he was able to be that sacrifice for us, for you and for me, because the Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This morning, if you haven't accepted him, I urge you. We'll sing something, a song of invitation. Just quickly, I know the time has run out. Don't tell Charlie that I went over. Of course, you'll have to scrub that from the recording. Let's just sing, I tell you what, let's just sing Amazing Grace this morning. As we're singing, if you have a problem, if you have whatever it may be, if you have something that you need to surrender to the Lord, now's the time to do it. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to kneel in front of the church. You can just bow your head right in your pew and say, Lord, I have this problem in my life. I don't know what to do. I'm just completely overwhelmed. I've got this sickness. I've got this family problem. I've got this financial problem. Whatever it may be, God will hear your prayer and he will answer it and help you this morning. If you haven't accepted him, I urge you to do it today before it's too late. We aren't given a promise of tomorrow. Christ, as that song I sang earlier, is coming. He could come today before we even leave. Surrender to him this morning.
Once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Just do that chorus. This morning, if you have a problem, if you just need someone to talk to, seek me out. I mean, as your associate pastor, one of the jobs of a pastor is to care for the flock, and the associate is just there to help with what the pastor can't get to. Your pastor's a busy man. I'm relatively busy as well, but I will always make time for you. My phone number is on those cards in the office. That's my cell phone. You can call me anytime, 24 hours a day. I may not answer right then if I'm in a meeting or something, but I will call you back. If you just need someone to talk to, if you just need someone to pray for, if you need someone to visit you, just to cheer you up, I'll be right there. And I'm sure Pastor Charlie is the same way. He will drop everything that he's got, and he will come running to you. If you just need to someone to cry on, we're here for you. It's what we're here for. This morning, as we sing this chorus, as we do each week, the family of God, I'm thankful this morning because our family got a little bigger Friday night. We've got 9 new brothers or sisters in Christ, and that's something to be happy about, because The world would like to tell you that Christianity is dying, that it's fading away, but that's just proof that it's going to keep going, that because for thousands of years, people have tried to stamp it out, but it'll keep on, keeping on until Christ returns. So as you leave this morning, we'll sing this song and dismiss. If you have a problem, share it with someone. Share it with me, whoever's here. If you need to talk to someone about accepting Christ, I'm here for you as well. I'm so glad on the night.